Welcome to Reader's Digest, brought to you by Owl Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio. I'm John Fisher, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest. First, from Reader's Digest's Life Well Lived. Some people thought that a couple with Down syndrome shouldn't marry, but after 25 years, Paul and Chris Charoon-DeForge are still going strong. From the Buffalo News, here's Sean Kirst with A Love Without Limits in Reader's Digest. For years, Chris Charoon-DeForge had a Valentine's Day routine she celebrated like clockwork with her husband, Paul Charoon-DeForge. She would always have a card, one of the elaborate ones she prefers to make by hand for those she loves, waiting for him when he came home from work. Chris, 58 years old, enjoys cooking. Paul loves just about everything she makes. Yet on Valentine's Day, they would go out to eat, maybe at Red Lobster or Olive Garden, maybe someplace as basic and comfortable as their beloved Subway. They were celebrating each other. "He opened up my world," Chris said, her arm resting on Paul's. But this year's Valentine's Day may be the most eventful one yet. That's because it is their 25th as husband and wife, a landmark that would be noteworthy for most couples, but is extraordinary for the Charoon-DeForges. They were both born with Down syndrome and are believed to be the longest married couple with the condition in the country. At the time of their wedding, some folks believed that people with Down syndrome didn't have the emotional maturity to be married. Chris, who as a girl used to cut wedding photos from magazines and hang them on her wall, knew better. "I looked into his eyes and saw my future," Chris said, about falling in love with Paul when they first met at a dance 30 years ago. To prove her point, when they got married, they decided to blend their last names into one. Still, they've had their struggles, and the most recent one may be the most monumental. This year's Valentine's Day is the first on which they won't be living together. Paul, 54 years old, is coping with early-stage dementia, an illness that affects many with his condition at a relatively young age. Several months ago, the state moved him into a community residence with intensive nursing care. "When they told me, I started to cry," said Chris, who still lives in their cozy apartment in Liverpool, New York, a suburb of Syracuse. "He's my life. I don't want to be without him." Their family worked hard to keep them together. They believe that Chris and Paul deserve the chance to make the same decisions as any couple when one partner faces dementia. "They should define their own lives," Susan Charoon, Chris's sister, told Today. "They know what is good for them." When the New York State Office for People with Developmental Disabilities determined that Paul could not stay in the couple's home, the family petitioned. They even found a new apartment that met the state's standards and was more easily accessible for Paul. At first, the state agreed, a huge victory, but Paul's condition continued to deteriorate. By that time, he was using a wheelchair and required round-the-clock care. The state decided he needed to move to the facility after all. The couple was disappointed, but not daunted. Chris visits Paul regularly, and they spend weekends together at Charoon's house, where Chris still cooks for her groom. "They have an unconditional love," Charoon said. "They totally complement each other." The ongoing quest to keep them together reminds Lorraine DeForge, Paul's mother, of all the obstacles her son has overcome. With help from his 7 brothers and sisters, he mastered the bus service in Syracuse. He spent many years working at the Arc of Onondaga's Vocational Division. In the year 2013, this local chapter of the Arc, a nationwide community organization that advocates for the developmentally disabled, cited Paul's work ethic, community service, and good cheer when it named him Person of the Year. DeForge remembers how some doctors told her, quote, not to expect much, unquote, when Paul was born. Instead, he grew up to live a successful life that included a marriage that has lasted a quarter century. Chris has had her struggles too. While she speaks with passion of the support of her parents, she spent a year as a child in a state institution after her father died young and her mother became ill. It was hard, she said quietly, recalling the sense of isolation. Then and now, she said, some people could be cruel. She still encounters the occasional stranger who makes casual and wounding use of the word retard. The truth is, those people have no idea how rich and rewarding her life is. They cannot appreciate how Chris, a diabetic, has the courage to give herself insulin injections 4 times every day. They cannot understand how Chris learned to be a skilled cook and graduated from high school, or how she gets up in the morning to go to work in an office mailroom, or how she and Paul maintain a fierce allegiance to NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. They cannot see the kind of commitment that endures after 25 years and is every bit as fresh today, quote, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, unquote. And they can't see how, as Chris sits in her own living room and recalls those vows from her wedding day, she is surrounded by photos of herself with the man who changed her life. Next from Reader's Digest, here's I Won the Chicken Wing Super Bowl. Here's an interview with Molly Schuyler, age 39, from Plumas Lake, California. Reader's Digest asks, you ate 47 pounds of chicken wings in 30 minutes to win Wing Bowl 26. How do you train for that? Molly Schuyler responds, the night before, the girls had a night out and we ate a lot of nachos. That morning, I drank at least 3 gallons of water to stretch my stomach. When did you realize you might be good at this? When I did my very first challenge, everybody took note of it. I kept saying, I just ate a hamburger, whatever. Did you compete often? 15 to 20 times a year. I won $22,000 at my first Wing Bowl. In parentheses now, she has also competed with cinnamon rolls, bratwurst, pudding, and fried mushrooms, although not at the same time. Back to Reader's Digest asking, but how do you still weigh only 127 pounds? Molly Schuyler responds, any professional eater will not eat like that at home. It's fruits and veggies in our house. How did you find this career? I had 4 small children. I was working as a bartender to be home during the day, but when I started doing this, I was making more money in minutes than I would make in a whole month. And the last question from Reader's Digest, what do people say when you tell them what you do? Molly Schuyler, the Chicken Wing Super Bowl winner, says, people make fun of us sometimes, but competitive eating is a physical sport. If you overeat on Thanksgiving, you're doing the same thing we are. Only we're getting paid. This editor's note now, the Wing Bowl is held every year in Philadelphia the Friday before the Super Bowl. Schuyler has won the contest 3 times. Next from Reader's Digest, this and that, news from the world of medicine. Treat glaucoma while you sleep. Scientists have long known that cannabigerolic acid, a compound from the cannabis, aka marijuana plant, can relieve glaucoma symptoms, but the key elements don't easily dissolve and therefore can't be turned into effective eye drops. Researchers at the University of British Columbia may have solved that problem with a compound called hydrogel. The hydrogel is administered as drops that then form a sort of lens upon contact with the eye, allowing the cannabigerolic acid to dissolve during the night and penetrate the cornea. In pig corneas, which are similar to human corneas, the gel was absorbed quickly. The next step is to test the gel in human eyes. A single concussion raises dementia risk. A study of more than 2.5 million people found that having just one concussion increased the risk of developing dementia by 17% compared with those with no concussions. The more concussions you've had, the greater the risk. If you've had a concussion, though, don't panic. Your absolute chance of getting dementia remains quite low. That said, you might want to manage the other known risk factors, which include alcohol abuse and hypertension, and take precautions against getting hurt again. When chemo isn't worth it against breast cancer. A new study found that about 70% of women with the most common type of early-stage breast cancer likely do not need chemotherapy after surgery. A gene expression test examined the tumors of more than 10,000 women with hormone receptor-positive HER2-negative breast cancer that had not spread to lymph nodes. The test assigned each woman a quote-unquote recurrence score from 0 to 100. The higher the score, the greater the chance the cancer would return. Among the women who scored between 11 and 25, those who received hormone therapy, that's the most common treatment, had almost identical survival and recurrence rates as those who also got chemo. The one exception, women aged 50 or younger with a score of 16 to 25, did indeed benefit from chemo. Flu vaccine could save your life if you have heart failure. Need another reason to get your flu shot? According to an analysis of data from more than 78,000 patients with heart failure, getting a seasonal influenza vaccine was associated with a 50% drop in the risk of death from any cause during flu season and a 20% drop in the risk of death during the rest of the year. According to the study's lead author, it is well known that heart failure patients have an elevated risk of flu-related death, so it makes sense that vaccination can help. Getting vaccinated was also linked to a 22% reduction in the risk of being hospitalized with cardiac problems. A photo a day keeps the doctor away. Taking a photograph each day and posting it online is a popular hobby. If the millions of online pictures tagged #365 are any indication, to explore how this habit affects health, British researchers interviewed the creators of online photo journals and discovered that daily photography improved respondents' lives in several ways. It made them mindful of the present. It motivated them to go for walks to get their photos. And it gave them opportunities to interact with folks who share their interests. Osteoporosis drug may cure baldness. Researchers from the University of Manchester have discovered that a drug originally developed to treat bone loss may also help treat hair loss. The drug, known as WEI-316606, suppresses the activity of a protein that is key to regulating the growth of many different types of tissue, including hair follicles. In a lab, the researchers extracted hair follicles from male hair transplant patients, then treated the samples with the drug. In just 2 days, the drug stimulated the hair follicles to grow. A clinical trial is needed to ensure that the treatment is safe and effective when used on hair still attached to living human scalps. But experts are excited about the prospect of a new medication, as existing hair loss treatments are not effective for everyone. The science of quote-unquote hanger. If you've ever been quote-unquote hangry, that is, so hungry it makes you angry, you'll be happy to learn that scientists have begun studying the causes of this unpleasant condition and recommending fixes. To diagnose hanger, researchers from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill asked subjects at varying levels of hunger to write a story about either their emotions or an average day. Next, they were asked to look at circles on a computer that had been rigged to crash. The experimenter would then blame the participant for crashing the program. It turns out that the people who had written stories about emotions and were therefore focused on their feelings were less stressed or angry when they were unfairly blamed for the computer crash, even if they were hungry. The takeaway? Being aware of your emotional state reduces the chance that hunger will ruin your mood. Mindfulness training can help with that. Of course, if you're hangry, eating also helps. Why vegetarians should add in B12. In a National Institutes of Health study, vegan and vegetarian participants tended to score higher than meat eaters on a depression measuring scale. While the results don't prove causality, it wouldn't be surprising if nutritional shortfalls were to blame, the researchers said. In particular, vegetarians and vegans are often low in vitamin B12, and animal products are the only natural source of this nutrient. However, it's possible to reach the recommended levels by taking supplements or by eating fortified foods such as soy milk and breakfast cereal. Air pollution can harm your kidneys. Polluted air has long been linked to major health conditions such as heart disease, stroke, cancer, asthma, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known as COPD. A new study based on data from nearly 2.5 million people now adds kidney disease to the list. According to the researchers, the adverse effects increase as pollution levels increase. But even relatively low amounts of particulate matter, which can include bits of dirt, dust, smoke, and soot, may increase the risk of chronic kidney disease and ultimately contribute to kidney failure. If you live in an area with poor air quality, be on the lookout for early signs of kidney disease. They may include foamy or bloody urine, itchy skin, puffy eyes, muscle cramps, unusual fatigue, and swollen feet, hands, or ankles. New smart hearing aid in the works? Researchers at New York's Columbia University Foo Foundation School of Engineering and Applied Science are developing a high-tech hearing aid that can help people focus on a single voice in a noisy restaurant or any other setting that's packed with competing and overlapping sounds. The hearing aid works by monitoring the brain activity of the user to determine whether he or she is conversing with a specific speaker. It then automatically picks that person's voice out of a mixed audio feed and amplifies it. In a recent trial, almost all the subjects found the device helpful and wanted to continue using it beyond the test. Diabetes meds can combat osteoporosis. Because type 2 diabetes affects bone metabolism, it's not uncommon for people with the illness to develop osteoporosis. In fact, many medications treat both diseases. Researchers in the United Kingdom and Greece found that metformin, sulfonylureas such as glucotrol, DPP-4 inhibitors such as Januvia and Onglyza, and GLP-1 receptor agonists such as Victoza and Trulicity work best to help strengthen bones and control diabetes. If you suffer from both conditions, ask your doctor which of these drugs is best for you. Dim light could make you dim. Working in a poorly lit office isn't just depressing, it may actually make you dumber. In a study from Michigan State University, Nile grass rats who spent their days in dim light did not do well on spatial learning tasks and showed a 30% decrease in the number of dendritic spines, the connections that allow neurons to communicate. Rats who were exposed to bright light, though, improved their performance. The study's co-author noted that this is, quote, similar to when people can't find their way back to their cars after a few hours in a movie theater, unquote, suggesting that light levels might have the same effect on us. Luckily, when the dim rats were exposed to bright light again, their brain capacity recovered fully. How to live longer. To test the assumption that a healthy lifestyle really does add years to your life, researchers devised a simple study. They looked at the lifespan of more than 123,000 Americans and then checked to see who had stuck with these five daily habits. 1. Eating well. 2. Exercising regularly. 3. Maintaining a healthy weight. 4. Avoiding smoking. And 5. Drinking in moderation. Sure enough, the folks who followed all five lived longer, but even the researchers were astonished by how much longer. Women at age 50 who followed all five healthy habits lived 43 more years on average, compared with 29 years for women who didn't follow any of them. Men who maintained all the habits lived an additional 38 years beyond 50, compared with 26 years for those who didn't. A good mood helps your flu shot work better. In any given year, the flu shot is estimated to be effective in only 17 to 53% of older adults, compared with 70 to 90% of younger people. Simply being in a good mood, however, appears to help older adults get the vaccine's benefits. In a study of people ages 65 to 85, those who were in a good mood on the day of vaccination had higher levels of influenza antibody in their blood up to 16 weeks later. Plant-based milks are not all equal. Cow's milk is nutritious for those who can digest it properly, but as many as 65% of the world's adults cannot. What about plant-based milks, which are more widely tolerated? Scientists from McGill University in Montreal compared unsweetened soy, almond, coconut, and rice milks and concluded that soy milk offers the most nutritional value. Why? It contains a balanced blend of the three macronutrients, carbs, proteins, and fats, plus isoflavones, compounds that may help prevent hormone-related cancers by binding with estrogen receptors. A nasal depressant works quickly. Esketamine, currently used as a general anesthetic, could prove to be a powerful weapon in the fight to prevent suicide. In a small study, volunteers with severe depression who used an esketamine nasal spray reported greater improvements in their symptoms, including feelings of sadness, difficulty concentrating, and suicidal thoughts, just 4 hours after their treatment, compared with volunteers who used a placebo. This is significantly faster than the 4 to 6 weeks it takes for most antidepressants to take effect. No benefits were observed after 25 days, however, suggesting that the spray works for only a short time. Ibuprofen negates strength training's benefits. A small study of young, healthy volunteers who followed the same weight training program revealed that those who took a low dose of aspirin, 75 milligrams a day, had twice the muscle development and a bigger increase in strength than those taking high doses of ibuprofen, 1,200 milligrams a day. If you want to build muscle mass, consider alternatives to ibuprofen. Charting cancer pain. During a 5-day trial with nearly 2,000 patients in 19 different cancer centers, medical staff regularly noted the level of patients' pain on a simple paper chart with a pen. Red, severe. Yellow, moderate, or green, mild. Those whose care included use of the chart reported less pain during this time, even though they did not receive higher medicine doses. The chart apparently prompts doctors to review which pain medications are working and which are not before patients' pain becomes unbearable. And finally, inhalers raise risk of infection. A new study suggests that adults over the age of 65 who use corticosteroid inhalers for asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, that's COPD, raise their risk for infection with nontuberculosis mycobacteria, NTM. NTM can cause a serious lung infection in some people that is notoriously difficult to treat because it is resistant to a number of common antibiotics. People who use an inhaler, especially one with fluticasone, that's the active ingredient in Flonase, should discuss the risks with their doctor. And finally in this edition of Reader's Digest, Everyday Miracles, here's Juliana LaBianca with Discovering a Lost Brother. Kieran Graham always knew he had an older brother. His adoption papers, signed and sealed when he was 3 months old, listed a sibling named Vincent, but no last name. Though Kieran spent years thinking about Vincent, he could never track him down. That changed in December 2017 when Kieran's adoptive parents gave their four adopted children ancestry DNA tests as Christmas gifts. Kieran, now 21, sent his saliva sample in for analysis. When his results came back, he was stunned to find that he had a slew of DNA matches for relatives who had also taken the test. Most were distant connections, but one match was so strong that it was labeled close family. His name was Vincent Gant. Kieran looked for him on Facebook and soon made a possible connection. "This is going to sound so wild, but I think you're my brother," Kieran wrote on Facebook's Messenger app. "I was given up for adoption in 1997, and it says on my paperwork that my mother has a son with your name and your birth date. Her name is Sean." "OMG, do you know your real name?" wrote Vincent, now 30 years old. "I think it was Tyler." "OMG, yes, you are my brother." "Wow," wrote Kieran. "This is crazy," said Vincent. The craziness was just beginning. As they talked, the brothers realized they lived about 20 minutes from each other outside of Atlanta. More mind-blowing, they attended the same university and majored and minored in the same subjects, political science and legal studies. We were like, what are the odds we're separated our entire lives and then end up at the same school with the same interests, says Kieran. Vincent was 9 when Kieran was born and remembers caring for his baby brother. But times were tough, and Sean, who worked 15-plus hours a day as a nurse, decided that placing Kieran for adoption would give him the best chance to succeed. She was very emotional about that time, to the point where it was hard for her to put into words anything about what happened, Vincent says. Now the brothers had the chance to make up for lost time. They decided to meet at a local tea shop that week. "I was really nervous," says Kieran. "I was wondering what I should say, what I should do." As he waited outside the shop, he heard someone call his name, and he suddenly found himself in a hug with the brother he'd thought about his entire life. The men went inside and talked. "We connected," says Vincent, "like we already knew each other." One of Vincent's concerns was that Kieran might resent his birth family for placing him for adoption. He was relieved Kieran didn't, and that he'd grown up in a loving family. Later that day, Kieran talked to his birth mother on the phone and went to Vincent's to meet his wife and his 2-year-old daughter, Kieran's niece. "She looked up at me, and I was like, wow, here I am an uncle, and I have an older brother," says Kieran. "I was in shock at that point." Since that first meeting, the brothers have bonded even more. They play flag football together. Vincent is the quarterback and Kieran is the receiver, and celebrated Christmas with their families. "We'll keep growing our relationship until it's time to leave this planet," says Vincent. That shouldn't be hard. As Kieran says, "We've got years and years to catch up on." Before we leave, how about some limericks from Laughter, the Best Medicine in Reader's Digest? "There once was a lady named Ferris, whom nothing could ever embarrass, till the bath salts one day in the tub where she lay turned out to be plaster of Paris." "A magazine writer named Bing could make copy from most anything, but the copy he wrote of a $10 note was so good he now lives in Sing Sing." "There once was a runner named Dwight who could speed even faster than light. He set out one day in a relative way and returned on the previous night." And "a forgetful old gas man named Dieter who went poking around his gas heater touched a leak with his light. He blew out of sight. And as everyone who knows anything about poetry can tell you, he also ruined the meter." Thank you for listening to today's Reader's Digest. If you have questions or comments about this program, please call us at 210-829-4223. This program is replayed after 9 o'clock in the evening. This is John Fisher saying goodbye from Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio.